teas and coffees, and then come back and sit down. We are we're in March. Can you believe it? It is March already, the greatest month that God ever created. All the best people are born in March. So March, spring is springing. Are we enjoying the fact that there's less rain? Yes. It's good, isn't it? So much rain. So March also means spring is springing, but it also, and we see God's just generosity in our world around us. But as a church, we're also going to step into our month of generosity. And for some of you that were with us pre-COVID, you'll remember that we used to do this. I think we did four of them each year, a month of generosity. Where we would take a whole month just to explore that value of ours of generosity. And we would give away significant sums of money to mission globally and locally. And that was the generosity of this church. And so we're stepping back into that. Do I need to do the screen? Is there anyone on that? You're on it, great. Because at OCC, generosity is part of who we are. It's not just something we do, it's who we are. And we have something within our church that some of you may be aware of called the rhythm of life. And it's how we seek to live out following Jesus, not just on a Sunday, but in every day of life, every season of life, every part of life. And that's through four directions, which I'm hoping will come up on the screen when Phil says that it's going to be working. Oh, somebody else doing it. Great stuff. There we go. And four directions that relate to four relationships, up, in, out, and down. And these are about our relationship with God, within the church, outside of the church, with ourselves. And we have values that inform how we live those out. And so I'm not going to speak into each of these because we will literally be here all day. But up, prayer and worship, we value that as a church. And so we live into that and we give space for that. But also within our own lives, we try and facilitate and encourage a life of prayer, a life of worship in through family and learning. Can I just say, church, I am so proud of this church that whether people come in visiting, whether they decide this is the church they're going to belong to, consistently, the thing I hear is, I feel like I'm in a family. Consistently. Isn't that amazing? And I know when we did the This Is Us at OCC thing, some family was so much of what came out. It's so amazing to be part of a church like that. And then out through mission and generosity. And these all interweave with each other, but we're going to focus in on generosity this month. And then down through rest and celebration. And so generosity for us is something that we do and so and something that we are. And so this month we're inviting you to participate in whatever way that you feel you want to be able to. And for some of you, that might be participating in ways that feel possible. And it's like, do you know what? Rather than doing nothing, I'm going to do something. And that's to be celebrated. And it feels possible. This is something I feel I can do this month. And that is fantastic to step into it. Maybe for others, it's going to be a little bit stretching. Like, oh, I'm not sure, but let's try it. And for others, it might be extravagant. And we're going to celebrate all the different ways that each of us step into this month of generosity by giving some time on a Sunday just to share the different ways that we are seeking to be a generous people. And as a church, some of the things that we're going to create is some space and opportunity if you would like to step into that. And so some of the ways that we're going to do that is each Sunday we're going to explore a different area of generosity. And so today we're going to start with generous God as our foundation. And then we're going to look at generous legacy. Alistair Taylor's coming next week to speak about that. And then on our Mother's Day service, we're going to look at generous love. And then Mark Greenwood's coming to speak into generous faith. And then at the end of the month, Tom's going to speak into generous justice. And so you maybe want to just come on these Sundays and be able to gather together. And there's a generous laugh at the back, which is lovely to hear. And what we're also going to be doing is providing you through the email and through our WhatsApp, we've got a devotional, a weekly devotional. And so you can engage with that just takes these themes. And during the week, you could either use it all on one day if you wanted to, or it's broken down for you to be able to decide how you want to do that. So maybe one day you want to just take the scripture and just let that verse just be something that you sit with for the day. And then there's a devotional and there's some questions that you might want to journal with or just think through or go through with your small group. And there's a way that you can apply it, just giving you some ideas. And there's a prayer and a song you can listen to. So you can engage with that in different ways on different days, however you feel. What we've also done is, I didn't realize this is what they call, but a chatterbox. How cool is that? We've got one of these. So as well as the devotional that's mainly more aimed at adults, we've got this for the kids and for families. And Vicky's developed this for us, where it's got all the four themes that we're looking at. And then you can spell out generosity, and then you can put a number, and then you do the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 number, and then you lift it up, and it's got a question that with kids and families, you can explore that. And then an activity, the way you can apply that. And so that's one way that we can engage with our month of generosity with kids and families. We've also got Mark Greenwood coming. And Mark Greenwood is going to do two evenings on the 18th of March and the 15th of April. And so please do sign up for that. He's going to be exploring evangelism and how we can reach our friends, not in a kind of in-your-face threatening way, but just through the relationship that we have. And we know Mark well enough to know that it's going to be a fun evening. We've also got our regular prayer and worship nights, two of our values in our UP relationship, prayer and worship. And so as a church, we give time to that. Maybe you don't normally come to those, but we gather on Zoom for prayer, and we gather in person for worship once a month. And so maybe you want to be generous with our devotional time and step into that. What we're also going to do, hopefully, don't worry, this will all be sent out through newsletters and through the WhatsApp chat and all the different ways. But something that really helped shape our month of generosity pre-COVID was we would give away a whole month's income. And to the point where the year before COVID, in 1 month, our church raised and gave away £15,000. A significant sum of money to be able to reach the nations and impact mission locally and globally. And so what we're going to do this year is we're going to give away a typical month's income. And so as a church, what we would normally get in on average over a month, we're going to give that away. And I can say now, one of the ways we're going to give that is to the work that we partner with in Ukraine. And so Pete Malkin, who's part of our church, he's going to be here with us next week, and we're going to speak into that a little bit more. But they've now become an official partner with Ely, so we can support them. So we're strengthening that partnership that we have and to be able to deepen that relationship. And so that's something that I'm really excited that we're going to be able to do as a church. And so we're going to create the space and give the ideas and some opportunities. You get to be creative. You get to decide how you're going to step into that and in the different ways, as small groups, individually, collectively, as a church. But when it comes to things like this, when it comes to things like exploring generosity, I become a little bit like a child. And do you remember, like those of you that are parents, do you remember the stage that children go through where it's why? Like we're having this for dinner, why? We've got to go there, why? Well, I'm a little bit like that with it. Why generosity? Why is that one of our values? And it's something that's kind of come up naturally through our church as being a generous people. But why? So I want to explore a little bit this morning and answer some of that question. Why generosity? And so I want to, if you've got a Bible, we're going to go to a really obscure verse. So you're probably going to want to look this up, because it's one that majority of people won't know. I'm trying to go really obscure just to start us off. And it's a verse that I've just not been able to get out of my head. And it's in the Gospel of John, and it's John 3:16. majority of people may not know it, but let me read it to you for the sake of it. It says, "For God loved the world in this way." I'm going back to the whatever translation I had. "God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal everlasting life." A little bit of a grounding scripture for us this morning. Quick show of hands. Who, and I want you to be honest, who sticks to the best before dates on products in the fridge? Hands up if you are a best before date kind of person. Don't be shy. Hands up. We've got one willing to admit it there. Come on. There's going to be more than that. Yes. I see those hands. I can't believe you know. Okay. So I'm not believing the reality of that. I think there's probably some more people in here that are like, that's a little bit out of date. I'm going to throw it away. No? Just two people in our whole church. You would as well. You do as well. Okay, good. See, just starting to see the reality of those that are in bondage to this random date that has been put on products by somebody somewhere. Because I think there's two groups of people when it comes to best before dates. The first are like those people that really are enslaved to that date. I'm not judging you, but you kind of see that and it's maybe like 30 minutes out of date. And you're like, get it away from me, like it's radioactive. Get behind me, Satan. It's that kind of thoughts towards this thing with the date. And then there's others of us who seem to be the majority, which has surprised me. But welcome to the team that are free from this bondage and free from this slavery. And we're kind of more chilled. It's like, that's got fur on it. We'll scrape it off and we'll still give it to the kids. For what I'm about to contract, may the Lord make me truly thankful. It's that kind of approach to the best before date. These two kind of groups. And I'm not saying that one has stronger faith. I'll let you decide that. But one of us feels like we're trusting Jesus a little bit more with our life. But I was thinking about best before dates. And as somebody who speaks regularly, we have to pull things from all over the place. And so I was looking at best before dates. And I'd got this yogurt that got a little bit of something growing on the side of it. And it made me think about best before dates. So I just scooped that off and then I gave it to Reuben for his breakfast. but it made me think, how often do we put a best before date on our generosity? How often do we date and limit our generosity? That we will love until it starts to get hard. Or we'll give until it actually really starts to cost us something. Or that we'll serve, but when somebody hurts us or somebody lets us down or we feel like we're giving more than we agree, oh, I don't know. And we put a limit on our generosity. God's generosity and God's love has no limits. There is no best before date when it comes to the generous God that we get to encounter. And as a church, the reason we value generosity is because we have been made in the image of a generous God. And so something I want to explore this morning. God so loved the world that he gave. The generosity of God is one that has always been exemplifying giving and giving and giving. And it's an expression of God's character that's been there since the very beginning. If we go back to Genesis, before sin, before there was striving, before there was scarcity, there was generosity woven into creation to reveal the character and nature of who God is. And in Genesis, we see this garden called Eden, and God creates this world that is overflowing with beauty and abundance and possibility. And then he does something truly remarkable. He gives it away. He creates this world, and then he gives it away. And we read in Genesis 2:15, it says this, "The Lord God took the man and placed him in the garden of Eden to work it and watch over it." It says to rule and to subdue it. The land, the animals, the fruit, the responsibility, the joy of creation. The story of Scripture begins not with the giving of rules, but the giving of a gift. Not with God taking, but with God giving. So as we leave this place this morning, even in this moment right now, each of us is created in the image of God, and we can celebrate God's generosity. That we get to be with each other. And as we go out and we encounter the trees and the rivers and creation, it is God's gift to humanity to display his generosity. Humanity didn't earn the garden. It doesn't deserve the garden. We get to receive it. Because from the very beginning, God is revealing his heart. And his heart is generous. He is a generous God. So four ways that I quickly want us just to explore this morning that link in with the 4 weeks that we're going to step into throughout this month that just start to help us lay a foundation, and then each week we'll go into the themes a little bit deeper. Four things: God reveals, God rescues, God redeems, and our response. Four R's, and that took me the longest time to adapt words to come up with those four R's. So please, that should be enough. God's generosity revealed through the fact that God reveals himself. You know, the fact that we can even come and worship God and know God and be in relationship with him is because he's generous. And he's generous with himself by revealing himself. Go back to Eden. It's that first expression of himself. And in that moment, he reveals himself as a generous father who delights in blessing his children. That everything that Adam and Eve have in that garden is a gift. The very breath that they breathe is gift. And even after humanity breaks God's trust, and we see them take the very thing that he tells them not to, God has been so generous in giving every tree. And he says, it's just one. Because God's also so loving that he puts boundaries in place. And for when we love someone, we'll put boundaries of safety in place. But humanity break that, and they eat the very fruit that he tells them not to. But God doesn't stop being generous. He still is generous with them, even when they break that trust. And he pursues them, and he calls out to them. And when they reveal themselves, he doesn't expose them. He covers their shame because he is a generous God. We see it woven through the story of Scripture. When we start to see the story expand and Abraham is called, it's an amazing moment where Abraham isn't impressive because of who he is. He's called because God is gracious and God blesses. I've been singing this morning, the Lord bless you and keep you. Not because you are good, because you've performed, but because God is good and God is generous. And so in Genesis 12, God says, I will bless you. And then in verse 3, he says, now there's a commissioning. I will bless you. Now you go and bless. You're blessed to be this blessing. And from the beginning, what we see is the revealing of who God is not simply for us to hoard the blessing. The blessing was never meant to stop with the receiver. It's meant to go outward and multiply. So, any fans of chocolate in church that haven't given it up for Lent? Chocolate fan, you're not giving it up for Lent? Come forward, my friend. You were so quick to volunteer, you weren't expecting that, were you? So what I'd like you to do is just take this space. Have we got the no, I'm waiting to see the bucket of gunge is ready. No, it's not. I would like you to close your eyes, and I would like you to pray so hard for the best box of chocolates in the world. Amen. Oh, isn't God good? I mean, that's a good box of chocolates, isn't it? You can open that. Open that now. Open it up and see if you can open it. That's the hardest part of it. Open here. You can choose. These are yours, so just enjoy it.
All right. Do I have to share them?
No, you just enjoy it.
All right. Brilliant.
What's your favourite type of chocolate?
My favourite is the praline ones.
Oh, the praline ones. Oh, here we go. So which is the praline one? Salted caramel, hazelnut smooth. Go for that one.
Go for that one. Do you want one?
No, I'm good, thanks. No. You. What are you going to have second?
Caramel heart.
Go for that one then. Caramel heart. No. How about third?
That one. That's all. Good one.
I'd go for that one.
No, very good.
You can have another one. Go for it. They're yours to enjoy.
Can't save them for later.
You can. But okay, so later, if you have a fourth one later, what will you go for?
Oh, the crispy chocolate.
Crispy chocolate, nice.
Or the vanilla one. I like that one too.
There's a lot of choice there, isn't it? He's been given a box of chocolates to enjoy. And guess what he's doing? He's really enjoying them. But you see, the thing is, the blessing's not meant just to stop with us. Go and share them. Anybody who loves a chocolate, go and share them. See, God's blessing is for us to enjoy, but it's not meant to stop at our enjoyment. The blessing is not meant to terminate with us. It's meant to travel through us. And when God calls Abraham, he's showing his generosity and he's saying, I am a God who is revealing myself as a generous God and I will bless you. But I'm blessing you to be a blessing. God so loved the world that he gave. God gives first, and every good and perfect gift comes down from God, and it reveals the reality of his character, that he loves, that he cares, that he blesses abundantly. But when we get that revelation of who God is, there then comes an invitation to be the blessing. See, when we see God's generosity in our lives through opportunities, through provision, through health, through resources, the question that should follow is, how do I get to extend this? To multiply this, to share this. There's an invitation to mission. And God's blessing is, I will bless you, Abraham. And now comes mission and purpose. Go and be a blessing. God reveals himself as generous love. And that's something we're going to explore in some of the weeks coming forward. God's generous love. But then we get to become a part of his ongoing story to bless others. Because God reveals himself. Second thing is this. God rescues. See, as you see the story of God move through the scriptures, we see that God starts to move through Abraham into this people that become known as Israel. And then they eventually find themselves enslaved in Egypt. And in this moment, we see that God's generous love isn't just expressed through him revealing himself, through promises and blessings, but it also is through action that God rescues. So Genesis 3, verse 7, it says, "The Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people in Egypt." It's not a full stop, it's a comma. "And have heard their crying, crying out because of their oppressors. I know their suffering." If you left it there, then, I mean, God's kind of aware and there's an awareness. But God's generous love is about a God who rescues. And he goes on and says, "And I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and bring them out from the land to a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the territory of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the Parasites, the Campsites, the Mosquito Bites," all of those different bites. See, God sees his people. And he steps in and he rescues. He doesn't send an advisor. He sends a deliverer, a rescuer, Moses. He doesn't just notice the injustice, but steps in. And he steps in to bring God's rescue, which looks like restoring dignity and reshaping their story. Because God is a God who rescues through generous justice. And it's something we're going to explore more this month. To set the foundation, what we see through Moses is that God rescues Israel from Egypt. He parts the seas, he provides manna, and he leads them towards freedom. God's generosity shows up in a generous justice, setting his people free. And when God begins to form this nation of Israel, he gives them some laws and a way of living that start to reflect his character and nature of restoring dignity. Of welcoming the outsider, of protecting the vulnerable, of care for the poor, of practicing fairness and pursuing justice. So different to the nations that surround them. We can read the Old Testament and think, what are these laws? But they're a revealing of the character and nature that God's saying, when you are my people, it will change how you treat people. You will live differently to the other nations that surround you. The nations at the time that were child sacrifice. You will look different and be different, and it will be about a justice to the people around you. God so loved the world that he sent his only son. When Jesus comes, he comes healing bodies, confronting exploitation, welcoming the outsider, eating with the sinners and the rejected and the broken. Jesus doesn't wait for the circumstances to be perfect in order to display God's generous justice. He steps into the brokenness. Do you know one thing I'm promising myself? I'm sensing a shift in my stage of life now that I feel like once you get over 40, I'm feeling like I'm not really a child anymore. I'm an adult. And there's some little things that I've just started to notice. Do you know one thing I refuse to be as an adult? Is a grumpy old man. Save me, God, from ever being a grump. I'm being serious. That is the easy choice. That's the way the world behaves. Grumpy old man. I refuse to be a grumpy old man because I'm not going to complain about the world being broken. As a person who follows Jesus, I'm meant to be one who reaches into the brokenness to see transformation. To bring justice. Because God is a God of generous justice. I'm preaching better than you're responding. Thank you. Because our generous God reveals that he is generous with his love and he rescues through generous justice. And thirdly, don't worry, the next 2 points are really quite quick. We see that God redeems. Our generous God reveals that he is a God who redeems. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God just doesn't give provision. He doesn't just give direction. He gives himself. That's how generous God is. And Jesus says, when you've seen me, you see the Father. He is the full revelation of who God is. A generous God of love, a generous God of justice. And giving himself, because God is a generous God who redeems. Last week, I lost my house keys. I've got them back now. But I went on a run, and I've got this like pouch thing. And the keys fell out of this pouch that sells itself as one that doesn't lose anything. So didn't quite fulfill its full potential there. But and I got home and I had no idea. So 5K run around where I live, I have no idea at what point those keys fell out. And so I'm stuck outside my house. And no matter how many times you speak to somebody and they give you the really unhelpful advice, where was the last time you had them? It didn't stop the fact that I was stuck outside of my house. But through a little process of the joys of social media and being able to post it on a little forum thing for our village, my neighbour, halfway around my run, came to me and said, "There's your keys." They had fallen out partway around my run, and she was out on a dog walk, and she found these keys, and she picked them up. And so I was then able to get back into my house. See, no amount of me striving to get into my house stopped the fact that I was locked out. I mean, I could smash my way in, but then that causes other issues. Now, that neighbour stepped in, and the minute she stepped in, suddenly I regained access. Suddenly, security and safety and the ability to step back inside was mine again. That is what redemption is. That is what Jesus has done. That sin and brokenness leave us locked outside. We cannot get in and fix it in our own. But God doesn't leave us outside. He steps in. He restores that which was lost. He gives new life. He gives freedom. He gives purpose. And we gain entry back in. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, because God is a God who generously redeems, that whosoever believes, whosoever believes. See, the cross is where generosity becomes tangible, revealing God's love and rescuing and redeeming us. Paul says it like this in Romans 5, verse 8. He says, "But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Oh, thank you, God, for that verse. See, to experience a generous God who redeems is the invitation to have a generous faith in who God really is. See, some of us think that we disqualify ourselves because of what we've done, where we've been, who we are. Oh, if only God knew. And in doing that, we hold a greater trust in our past, in our brokenness, than in the love of God. And the call of this month is to have generous faith. Generous faith in the truth of who God is. That whilst we were still sinners, if we think that our past disqualifies us and there's some secret in our life that means God can't love me, can I tell you, spoiler alert, whilst we were still sinners, he died for us. That's how generous God's redemption is. Can we be a people that have generous faith, that believe his love more than our past? A generous faith that accepts his love more than our ability to get by ourselves, more than our resources, more than our health, our finances, our hopes, our dreams, to put a generous faith in who God is. We're going to explore generous faith in a few weeks' time as Mark Greenwood joins us. And generous faith is a faith that dares to believe and shares what we believe. Dares to believe that God is that good. And then shares, "I know how good God is. Let me share the hope that I have." Every act of God's generosity calls for us to have generous faith. And as we step into this month, we see consistently in Scripture, Abraham is blessed by God, and then we're told in Hebrews that he stepped out not knowing where he was going. There's the revelation of who God is, but then you have to step out in faith and go, "Now I'm going to trust whether you actually are who you say you are, God." We see it in Matthew 14. Little boy with his 5 loaves and 2 fish. They're not enough. They're nowhere near enough. But he offers it. There's that moment of faith going, "It's not very much, God." But in his hands, God takes the not enough and he multiplies it. God's generosity flows through their faith. And their faith is seen through the loosening of the grip of that which is in their hands. And God starts to multiply. And there's an invitation for generous faith, opening up our lives so God can be seen. And so here's the question. I don't think the question is, "God, are you generous?" The question is, how are we going to respond to the generosity of God? As God's people. And my fourth point is this, our response. Sekar, band, I wonder if you could just come up, and we're going to take communion together in a few moments. But the Bible begins in a garden where God gives everything, and it ends in a restored creation where God gives everything. Revelation 21, verse 1. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband." Generosity of God. If From Eden into eternity and every moment in between is a story of a generous God who reveals himself through love. A generous God who rescues humanity, bringing justice. A generous God who redeems the whosoever by inviting trust through faith. And then he invites his people to carry that story forward. And this is where we get to legacy, something that we're going to explore with Alistair Taylor next week. See, legacy isn't so much about what we can accumulate, it's about what we can release. Whatever the loaves and fishes are in our life, for Abraham, God said it was his faith that would bless the generations and all the nations on the earth would be blessed through him. That's a legacy, faith. That legacy of faith that outlives ourselves. And it's a seed that's planted that we may never see fully grown, but it's a willingness to plant it. And so in this month of generosity, the invitation is to plant a seed. Plant a seed of generosity. And the thing about a seed is that you, when you plant it, it doesn't stay in your hand. You have to bury it, you have to water it, and then you have to wait. And eventually it starts to grow into something far bigger than itself, whether it's a tree or a flower or a harvest that feeds many. We've been spending some time exploring the parables of Jesus, and he says that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, this tiny little seed. That when it's planted, it becomes something far greater than you could ever imagine. Generosity is the character and nature of God, and so it's the same. When we start to plant generosity, when we start to release our time, our resources, our love, it may feel really small in that moment. So small, unlike the voice of screamers. I wish my generosity was as loud as some kids' voices. Help my generosity to be that loud. See, when we have that seed, we can feel it's insignificant, it's nothing, it's hardly worth giving. But actually, the invitation is to give what we have. Not the guilt to give more. This month of generosity is not a guilt exercise. It's an exercise in generosity. Sow what we have. Sow what we give. And as a church, I would be really excited then to see in the next generation of OCC, when I'm long gone, what are some of those seeds of generosity that were planted that start to be seen? That is a legacy. And that's the invitation. As a church, we're going to start our month of generosity by receiving together. And we're going to come and receive communion. And communion is this visible expression of God's invisible grace. It's the place where we receive. It's not just where God's generosity is described, but it's where it's remembered and received, that on the night before the cross, Jesus took bread. And then he took a cup. Do you know what the scriptures say? He gave. He gave. Gave it to his disciples. And he doesn't give a theory. He doesn't give advice. He gives himself. And the bread reminds us that his body was given. And the cup reminds us that his blood was poured out. In this moment of God's generous love. So when we come to this table, we don't come because we've earned way and earned our place. We come because God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That the whosoever believe in him won't perish. They'll have everlasting life. And so today, as we take the bread and we take the cup, we're not just remembering an event, we're receiving God's generosity, his love, his justice, his blessing into our life as we give our faith. So I want you to come. If you believe in Jesus this morning, come. Come to the table. And just practically speaking, two of our church are going to come in a moment and serve communion. And you can receive that. It's alcohol-free. It's gluten-free. But that's not where I wanted to stop this morning. You can come to the table and you can receive. But then there's a second table at the back that says, "This is us, OCC." And it's got some words that we did during our AGM that describe us. And at the back, I want to invite you at the start of this month of generosity to plant a seed. It's a tiny little seed. In fact, I bought a pack of 50 seeds, and it really doesn't look like there's 50 seeds there because they're so small. I was quite surprised when I poured it out. I was like, that's a bit pathetic. There's 50 tubs, and it looks like there's a lot more tubs than there are seeds. But it just spoke to me in that moment of, you know, I'm tempted to not give what we have this month because it doesn't seem very much. But that seed, when you plant it and put it in that soil, it's going to grow. And it's going to give delight to those people that see it. So the invitation at this month of generosity is to plant a seed. And it's a way of saying, God, I will not let your generosity just stop with me. I choose to sow that which you've given. And so as we plant that seed, I want to do it with an ear to God being open and maybe an invitation of how we step into that this month. That just as Jesus gave himself so that life could multiply to us, we plant a seed as a declaration that we want our lives to bear fruit beyond ourselves as we step into this month of generosity. So please, Rebecca and Chris, will you come and help me serve communion?